extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here.
Oh, from Los Angeles, California, you are listening to Extra Time, presented by AT&T 5G. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, Charlie Davies, David Goss, Matt Doyle. Oh, what a high this is, guys. Even though we're not in the same room, we're in different hotel rooms. We're piecing together our third show of the day, but that was the best MLS Cup of all time, LAFC champions for the 2022 season. If you want the sights and sounds, go watch the Twitter-only post-game show that we did on the field. We had Dave roaming around in the midst of champagne showers and celebrities hobnobbing, etc. Oh, I'm exhausted, but I still have this adrenaline high, Dave, that's just sort of coursing through me. I can't imagine what you're feeling given that you were in the midst of it all.
Just as a, you know, an LA celebrity like me, it's just kind of another Saturday. Like, if it wasn't there, it would have been at the club, maybe at the pool club, whatever it was. No, it was special, it was cool. I feel good. I don't know for you guys, but you always feel when these things happen, like there's so many people who work so hard that you feel good for and happy for, that also sort of energizes you, that so many people that care about the same things we care about are, you know, being recognized in this moment. So it was a pretty special day. And me and Will Ferrell are best friends now.
3-3 in, not in regulation, in extra time. Kellen Acosta got the goal scoring started in this MLS Cup. You saw Daniel Gosdog fight back. Then it's Jesus Murillo in the 83rd, and the whole stadium's thinking, okay, LAFC are going to win it. The home team's going to win it. They're going crazy. 2 minutes later, Jack Elliott scores. We go to extra time. There's a red card to Maxime Crépeau. Shout out to him. He was on a FaceTime in the celebrations from the hospital. Thumbs up on the stretcher on the way out. It seems pretty clear that his World Cup dream is over. Knock on wood. I hope not. But he looked pretty seriously injured, and he got the red card for Dog So as well. Corey Burke chasing that down. Jack Elliott scores in the 120+4, and that you would think is it, right? Charlie, that's it. Nobody else could possibly make a difference in this. Certainly not Gareth Bale, who sort of looked like he was dragging a piano around for most of his time on the field. He wouldn't. He couldn't. The script writers would not allow it, Charlie. And yet you looked me in the eye on the sideline and said, what if Gareth Bale does this? And like a minute later, he dunks on Elliott. It's 3-3. We go to PKs. And we'll get to John McCarthy, because that is the best ETR MLS nerd story of all time for him to win MLS Cup MVP. But Gareth Bale, dude. Who would have thought?
I think I thought. Oh. No, let's be honest. This was set up for somebody off the bench to come in and make a difference. And if you look at what Corey Burke was able to do, he was causing problems. He really was an impactful sub. Just playing in behind Ibiaga, they were struggling. They were worried. Every time the Union got on the ball, they looked to dump in behind Ibiaga and just let Corey Burke go to work. He was causing problems, and it wasn't until he made that substitution, obviously the red card, and Maxime Crépeau getting injured and having to be substituted with the red card, that it felt like LAFC said, this is a perfect opportunity for us to be played down a man, and we're going to have to ask a lot of Gareth Bale, who's not that fit, to come up with that magic moment, and he does.
The dunk. I mean, we were right there for it. We were fortunate when Nico Ladero scored this sort of icing goal for CCL to be right in that corner and watch that up close. We were right in front of Gareth Bale doing it. He comes into the corner flag. He stares up into the, you know, into the stands filled with black and gold, pounds his chest. But look, John McCarthy is the MLS Cup MVP. John McCarthy is Philly born and bred. John McCarthy is that city, went to, you know, all the way up, all his schooling, through college, goes to LaSalle, starts his professional career, bounces around in the lower divisions, finds his way to the Union in 15 through 18. I believe he was a sub in the 15 Open Cup final, if somebody can correct me, please do, for Andre Blake as a PK specialist. He comes in the 118th minute. It's his third appearance in LAFC colors. The only other two games he played were Open Cup in April and a 2-0 loss against the Rapids in May. He comes in. Daniel Gazdag slips, skies it. This after Christian Tejo misses as well. And you think, okay, well, who's got the momentum? Then he stones back-to-back players. They win on PKs. He cries while receiving the MVP, Dave. John McCarthy is a storybook. This is not real life. This cannot be how it goes down. And yet here he is delivering, you know, the ultimate blow, unfortunately, to all his old friends in Philly, to his former coach, to his city, and being sort of the man of honor, the hero. It's unbelievable. Like when he was being subbed in, I had forgotten that John McCarthy plays for LAFC. We were trying to remember who the backup goalkeeper was.
Is it right? Did Opta put the wording out right that it's the first goalkeeper sub in MLS Cup final history?
I can't think of another one.
Yeah. So that's alone, and then he comes in and does what he does, and then he wins MVP. A lot of people have been tweeting at us asking if this is the least minutes a player has ever played that won MVP in MLS Cup.
And also think about this. Sure. In those minutes, he gave up a goal. It's not like, you know, it's like a non-clean sheet in whatever it was, you know, like 10 minutes.
It's definitely something that it's obviously not how most of us saw it going. I think John Thornton said to me after, this is why we love sports, right? Like, to set this stage and have all of these pieces and the Gareth Bales of the world and the Carlos Vela's and the top three scoring combo for Philly and the goalkeeper of the year and defender of the year and coach of the year. And then it falls on a cult hero of the Philadelphia Union to win it for LAFC against them. He said it was bittersweet to me after the game. Like, I think he thought about it all week. And for him, it was tough the whole week knowing it was going to be Philly, where he was finally going to get this opportunity to potentially win MLS Cup, you know, in his career. And so he was struggling with that, I think, the entire time going into the game. It obviously didn't affect him. He said, you know, I'm maybe a little lucky Gazdag slipped on the first one, but it gave me the lift to then figure it out from there. And if you remember, this was sort of his MO with the Union when they made their Open Cup runs. He was like an Open Cup specialist, PK shootout specialist. And you saw it on the first one, like, all the data says the longer the player has to wait to shoot, the more likely it is that they miss. And when he stepped off the line to ask Elfath the question before Gazdag shot, I was like, this is what you live for. And this is why this league's great, because you know what? With 27, 28 teams, like, there was more chances for John McCarthy to stay in this league and to have opportunities and to be a part of this. And he got his glory today.
What is this this journey for LAFC in your mind, Charlie? I mean, Carlos Vela had said it repeatedly. Like, we've played into it. You've said over and over and over, MLS Cup or bust. Like the shield's nice. Everything else is nice. When you come out and say it, you've got to deliver on it. What does this day mean to LAFC in your mind after soaking all that in?
It just legitimizes the club in LA. Because Galaxy can always say, hey, we have the 5 MLS Cups. You guys are nothing. You might have the shine now, the juice, but you don't have the sauce. This says, yeah, we're a new club, and now we have that MLS Cup. We're doing things right. There's a new club in town, and we have a project here that everyone's can see it unfold, all the work that we put into it. It's a special project. We can attract the top talent in the world, but we can also develop players who are from, whether they're from the U.S., they're from South America or Europe, developing that great talent and then selling them off if that's where they want to be, or a Carlos Vela and attracting a top talent and let them win trophies here in L.A. for the club. It's really an impressive season, and beating L.A. Galaxy in the playoffs on top of that is just the cherry on top.
What's the best moment? We do this every show after weekends. We do it after all-star games. We do it, you know, after playoff matches. What's the one moment, Doyle? What's the best thing from MLS Cup in your mind? We'll go around.
Oh, man. The thing about this game is that there were too many to choose from. right?
Watch out. I'd start with a list if I could, but I'm trying
to. Yeah. I mean, it's either going to be the Bale goal, which you will see on every MLS promo for the next 25 years, because what a moment that was. It's the McCarthy thing, because and you get both spectrums of it. Gareth Bale's a global superstar who's won, you know, multiple Champions Leagues for Real Madrid, $30 million a year and everything. And that's for the casuals. That's for the people who were just tuning in because it was on Big Fox. And then you get John McCarthy, noted PK specialist, noted former teammate of Charlie Davies, stealing the show at the end, which is for the MLS sickos. Like, for the people who are absolutely obsessed with this league, that's like a special moment for them. Because like, if you've been obsessed with this league, you know who John McCarthy is. You know he's had moments in the past before. And then to see him get this big moment in the biggest stage, boy, I'm never going to forget that. Especially, you know, with the post game, with him breaking down into tears a little bit, and his family there, his family's crying as well. He doesn't know what to say. It's why we watch sports. It's beyond words, guys. It really is.
Dave, what is it for you? Do you have a singular thing? If it's not clear, I'm always jealous that you get to wade through the celebrations and do the interviews afterwards. But is there something that stands out to you from that experience?
I guess watching Will Ferrell and Sebastian Ibiaga in a long embrace is not a sentence I thought I'd ever say in my life. So that one probably stands out.
A high degree of tenderness.
Yeah, no, like they were both so thankful of each other. Will Ferrell was so thankful of the performance Ibiaga put in today. And I think Sebastian Ibiaga, as we could all probably see, was pretty thankful of the ownership group, the way they built this club and sort of the opportunity that they put in front of these players to like, and this is the big one for me is to make it feel so real and special and unique, right? Like these guys are superstars in front of a fan base that is passionate in the biggest market in the world. You know, arguably, obviously New York City.
I was going to say, hold on. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Hold on. Jeez.
Yeah. But it's LA, right? Like this isn't a minor market minor league baseball does well there. Could MLS fit or soccer or whatever? Like this is Los Angeles and that stadium is as nice as there is around the world. And the fans are as passionate. And so that to me is the big thing of just how real it all felt and how special it all felt, whether it was, you know, the fans singing to the music at halftime and in between the breaks, or it's just every single person wearing a black and gold hat, right? Like everyone is decked to the nines in gear except for Justin Bieber.
we had Bieber, we had Hailey Bieber. I'm not as up on the Biebers as I wish I was, though I do enjoy the old school jams. What other celebrities we see? Wiz Khalifa?
Sia?
Yeah, in the house as well.
Sia was at the game?
Yeah.
What?
She was in a gold garments and like had her little mask. Yeah.
That's epic.
Yes.
Charlie, I'm going to make you take the Gareth Bale goal because you got one of the best paparazzi photos of like videos of all time of that moment. I mean, it happened right in front of us. And I swear to God, the moment that Diego Palacios connected with that cross and Charlie looked over and saw that it was Gareth Bale running onto it. This dude whips his phone out, gets it in like cinema mode and is just sprinting around getting the best possible shots. If you see that up on different platforms and wonder where that came from, probably straight from Charlie Davies. From a striker's perspective, Charlie, and from this perspective of like knowing that we've all got almost nothing out of Bale, so little in fact, that I don't think really anybody expected him to actually impact this game. Take me through that the totality of the Gareth Bale goal that made it 3-3 and what was like the 130th minute basically.
It's the latest goal in MLS history. Do you know what record it broke?
Jack Elliott's.
Yeah, exactly. It was that type of day.
Well, what's crazy about it to me is how the play gets broken down. So Baizo pushes up and there's all that space in behind. And then Palacios breaks through. And so as he gets to the end line, Gareth Bale's at the penalty spot. He has a clear eye at Palacios. He knows it's 1v1 at this moment. When that ball is played and it clears Glesnes, so That's all you have to do for Palacio's standpoint is clear that first defender who's at the corner of six, which is Glesnes, and just float it. Give your teammate a chance to get at it and put it far away from Blake so Blake can't just come out and get it. So it can't just be floated. You got to put a little pace on it. And so the touch is absolutely perfect. Now it's a 1v1. You are always going to bet on Gareth Bale in this situation. And Gareth Bale times it, out jumps, out leaps Jack Elliott and just bangs it home to that near post. You can see Jack Elliott falls flat on the ground and Bale doesn't break stride. He runs right to the corner. It's epic. It's the stuff of dreams. He gets to the corner. The fans were nuts. We felt goosebumps. I mean, instantly. We all looked at each other like, this can't be possible. This goal was epic. It's literally what – if you could draw up a dream scenario, this is it. Gareth Bale to the rescue. The big signing that everyone thought was a big flop – comes in and delivers the game-tying goal that eventually leads them to MLS Cup.
I'm watching it right now, like on a loop. Where does Kellen Acosta come from? Can I ask that question?
Well, he was coaching. That's why. He was up on the sideline coaching for a while.
I mean, but how? Like, he sprints the entire length of the field.
That's field coverage. That's national team caliber field coverage, Weeby. Come on.
Exactly.
That's why he's going to be in Qatar in 2 weeks.
He's like the third or fourth guy to actually get in there. And then he does the little, you know, like the head to head, like mind meld with Gareth of this is how it's supposed to be. Remember, Chiellini didn't even play in this game either. You know, props to Ibiaga for coming into a difficult situation against a team that put, you know, the first half's not the Union's best, but put them under a ton of pressure. And long story short, I'm trying to kill time trying to think of my moment because these are the moments between McCarthy and
I didn't
Gareth
even
Bale
know we
well.
Were still doing that.
Yeah, I guess I don't have to have a moment. I don't know. I think the moment would be to go what Charlie said of just sort of the goosebumps and of the way that the occasion felt. And it's been a while for me since I've been in an MLS Cup for, you know, a lot of different reasons. Obviously, the pandemic, one of them. And we had the studio. We were doing studio shows out of that. So the last cup I was at was actually 2018 in Atlanta. And obviously, you know, they win and the whole city is on fire. And I remember during that week, like looking at Bobby, looking at you, Doyle, looking at Charlie and Dave, and we were all talking about like through the course of the week as every Uber driver knows everything about the game. And like the whole city seems to be rallying around it and thinking like, is this a different level? Is this a level that anybody else can reach for MLS Cup? And I'm not sure that sort of the hoopla around the game, like the event side of things, was at the same level as Atlanta. But the way that these fans, this stadium, this community that's been built over the last 5 years made the entire occasion just feel huge, even with USC encroaching on every little bit of space around the stadium and them not having their normal sort of tailgate spots and like – you know, build up that they would get for just a regular home game that we know is already so awesome. The fact that nobody could drive to this thing and we're in there 3 and 3.5 hours early or whatever it is. And like 2 hours in, the entire 3252 is completely packed up. Just the level of excitement, the level of just sort of like, this is my team. This is my city. This is our moment that you felt. And then you got to give huge credit to the amount of people that came from Philly too on a week's notice. They filled up an entire corner of the stadium. I think one of my most memorable moments is actually watching Alejandro Bedoya after the final whistle, after the game is over, and just seeing the level of frustration on his face. And Doyle, I thought you said it well in the postgame show of like, yeah, Philly seemed down. They seemed disappointed. They seemed shell-shocked. They also just – they sort of seemed pissed. And, like, it's understandable. This is their fourth final. They haven't won a single one of them. In, like, typical Philly fashion, it just sort of, like, the bottom dropped out. But before we give too much praise to LAFC, I think we actually have to turn it around a little bit and praise Philly for their effort, for their season, for being on the brink. I mean, look, are they going to look back at this play where Bale dunks on them and be like, God, how did we let that happen? Up a man in the 128th minute? Yeah, you're absolutely right. They will. But, boy, what a season. What a season for the Union. What a season for Jim Curtin. What a season for these players. But when they look back on it, I'm sure they're always going to be thinking what could have been in these final moments in LA. And, you know, just as much as John McCarthy is sports, that's sports as well.
I'll also say, you know, it came down to depth, right? And so when you have Paxton Aaronson coming in, and I know he's getting that big transfer to Frankfurt, but on that throw-in, it's the 128th minute. The throw-in where the leading up to the goal, he's marking no one. So he's just looking at the thrower, who's Palacios. He throws it to the sideline to Ilya Sanchez. Now, Ilya Sanchez has Baizo on his back. This is where you see a young player without the maturity who tries to dive in to win that tackle, and that ball gets flicked to Palacios to run by both of them to put that cross in. And that's just the lack of experience that you see from Paxton Aaronson there. And that goes back to New York City FC game where Jack McGlynn comes in and doesn't cover the space for that leads to New York City FC goal for Maxi Morales. So that those are those moments where you expect a lot of growth from the young players. And you have a Gareth Bale coming in for LAFC versus a Paxton Aaronson, and that was the difference.
I'm not going to lie, guys. I got like 10, max 15 minutes left in me before we got to go get a little bit of food here. Doyle, take us through the game itself from your point of view. Just like the way this all played out, because we're so uber focused on ultimately, in large part, the second extra time period, mm-hmm. because that's where everything just popped off and all the drama is and the storytelling went crazy. And it's hard to remember, you know, the 115 minutes before that. But try to contextualize this final big picture. What did you see?
Yeah, it was a final, right? It was a real scrap in this one. Ismail Al-Fath absolutely let them play. So there were, you know, it got real physical real fast. And these are two very good defensive teams. And they're not going to, like, LAFC was not going to let Philly build up. And when Philly plays with Jack McGlynn out there, they want to be a team that builds up a little bit more, right? And, of course, Philly was not going to let LAFC build up. And so it ended up being, you know, two teams just going at it, hammer and tongs, all over the field. And then the first half, the story ended up being Jose Martinez because he couldn't keep the ball. And like every good chance that LAFC had came off a Jose Martinez turnover, the one of which eventually led to the free kick that Kellen Acosta put home. And that was like that, you know, immediately after that, Philly kind of broke down and Andre Blake had to bail them out. So at halftime, it felt like Philly had maybe had a couple of better moments, but LAFC were the better team. And so Philly were kind of lucky to be down only 1-0. And then it was sort of more of the same coming out of the second half, except that LAFC dropped their line. LAFC dropped their line back and they started letting Glesnes and Elliott play. They started letting those guys pick their passes and distribute a little bit, and that created a rhythm. And so Philly started to control more of play, and then they were the ones who were getting on the front foot and winning set pieces. And oh yeah, by the way, the first five goals of this game all came off of set pieces. So I honestly think LAFC made a mistake by not keeping their tempo high in the second half. Like I think that this game was there for them for the taking, but full credit to the Union for like, they did the same thing that they did against NYCFC in terms of just being resilient and not getting, you know, not letting their heads drop when they're down 1-0 and you have Andre Blake back there. He could bail you out sometimes. And that was good enough for them to get all the way to the second half of extra time, which is where it went just complete tactics free zone. Like they're like, it was just mayhem in the second extra time. But the 105 minutes before that, like I thought the story was going to be LAFC having their foot on the throat and just kind of like making a mistake by not stepping down as hard as they could. Because when you give Philly that opportunity, and granted, Philly didn't, even when they had good rhythm, it's not like they had a ton of ideas in the final third. And Kai Wagner probably had 30 crosses all by himself. And you know, once Corey Burke came on, it was like a very, I'll say, a muscular game plan from the Union where they were just trying to, like, it was 3 yards in a cloud of dust, you know? But like, it felt at that point Like, if anybody was going to win it, it was going to be the Union. So full credit to LAFC for pulling out that trump card deep into the second half of extra time. I still can't believe what I saw, guys. I can't believe everything that happened in this stupid game.
Oh, just a stupid, wonderful pantheon bucket list. Thank God we were all there together for it sort of game. Truly a pleasure. The amount of times that we sort of looked down the line at each other with that mouth open, are you kidding me? No, not possible sort of face. It felt like it just happened over and over and over. What else do you guys want to cover? My brain is...
I think we I almost feel like we should go through a list of guys who deserve props. Like Seba Biaga. Again, we talked about this in the pregame. He's a fourth-string center back. You don't see a lot of MLS Cups games played with the fourth-string center back on the field. And granted, LAFC, they gave up three goals, so it's not like they were perfect. But I thought, like, given the questions the Union ask of any back line, that was a man's performance from him. We absolutely have to mention that. Palacios able to get forward at the end. He hadn't gotten forward all game. Olivier Mbaizo, I thought he was awesome today. I thought this was one of the best games he has played. Because he defensively, he was so locked in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, shut Bulanga down.
Yep. I don't know. I feel like Weeby. I'm just going through a list at this point.
There's one guy that I think probably should be talked about as far as his defensive one-on-ones, and that was Murillo. I thought he was phenomenal defending the Union attackers, just making sure he intervened at the right time. He didn't jump in, and then he got the goal as well to put them in a good position. So
although he did play the back pass.
He did play the back.
Right.
In terms of his one-on-one defending, it was phenomenal.
Aldo and Leon Flock, me and Doyle were sort of astounded at him in person. It felt like he covered more ground the longer the game went on. And there was like never a question with the subs, a lot of them for Philly, right? Like you were never going to take some of these guys off the field. And yet they still continued to have energy and they continued to work. I'd also say Philly in general, right? Like this is one of the all-time great MLS sides, and they will have one of the weirdest finish and resumes to a season, which is they lost the supporter shield on total wins, and then because of PK shootout as a tie, they didn't even technically lose MLS Cup. And I don't even understand how to comprehend a season like that. And they're going to have to sort of struggle with that, I think, during the offseason themselves as well.
You can throw Jack Elliott in there. I mean, did he get dunked on by Bale?
Yep.
Yes. Is that a sort of impossible situation for literally any center back in the world? History says also yes. But for him to step up in this game when, you know, look, like Ura was not at his best. Gazdag had the goal, but I thought that the LAFC did a really good job sort of forcing him out of positions he was comfortable in and putting him in spots where it's like, hey, you're going to be the one receiving the ball on a sideline, not the one sort of timing your run to the back post or understanding where space opens. I thought in a lot of ways he was pretty quiet in this game. But Jack Elliott, when they needed it, when they were down 2-1, comes in, gets the first goal on the set piece, and then, I mean, for all intents and purposes, in a different universe, he scores the winner. He's the hero. It's not John McCarthy. And so that's sort of the dichotomy, too. We're talking about this weird season for Philly. Jack Elliott scored 2 goals in MLS Cup, and the moment that most people are going to remember is him getting dunked on by Gareth Bale. Like, that's cruel.
And on top of that, I think we've probably already mentioned Corey Burke, but, like, he may have been the best player on the field, or he may have been the most impactful player on the field in the Eastern Conference Finals and MLS Cup. He wasn't on the field for the most amount of minutes, but that's something unique, and that's also something where he's probably going to come out of this, and I think a lot of teams in MLS will, and say, why isn't that guy on the field more, and do we have minutes for him to fill? But I think it's a credit to him. He's been through a lot of stuff. He, you know, got stuck in Jamaica, couldn't be a part of the team. He was a Philly 2 guy. He sort of pushed his way in as the starter. They filled in on top of him again in terms of spending for more center forwards, and he got pushed back to the bench, and this is the best soccer he's ever played. And so to see him get back to that level, and Philly needs it. Like, Philly needed it this year because they didn't have other options off the bench. If Corey Burke didn't change these two games, they wouldn't have been here in playing anymore. So he needed to sort of step up and be this player for them, and it's huge. And it was huge. I said to you, Weeby, at the game, I hope the $300,000 in allocation for Sergio Santos was necessary. I understood the trade at the time, but man, they could have used another just MLS quality player to be able to bring into this game just to get them maybe even two, that 3-2 win and just have that energy.
Yeah, Carranza had a good game, I thought. Just like his activity, his doggedness. But look, anybody's going to be cashed after 120, 115 minutes at the pace at which that game was played, at the intensity with which it was played. We haven't said Carlos Vela's name a ton. I think he had an assist in this game. But I thought he was really active. And maybe this is a good time to sort of like rewind it back and talk about him, and also talk about where this LAFC team has been, because he was sort of the first. He was the cornerstone, has been the cornerstone. They win MLS Cup in 5 years. He's the one that said, this is it, this is the goal. You could just see the satisfaction, the joy, probably some relief as well, but just like how ecstatic he was to have done it, to have accomplished it, to share it with all the people around them, to do it at the bank. I mean, one of the things that I really noticed in that post-game celebration was just, Dave, that he just seemed like he was glowing. What did you see from him when you were sort of making your way around there?
Yeah, I think that's a really good term for it, because there's the ecstasy of they won and the excitement and the energy. I think there was relief as well for him of like they got over the line, both finally in his career, finally for this team, and then just the whole emotions I think that everyone involved was feeling in this game. But it did feel like his moment, right? It felt like everyone was, even with Gareth Bale scoring the goal and Magic Johnson on the field and Will Ferrell and all those, it felt like everything was centered around Vela. I said on the post-game show, it's LA. You're Carlos Vela. You are one of the all-time greats in Mexican soccer history, whether you want to talk national team or not, or just pure quality as a player. He brought a lot of that to this team, and you felt it in the postgame of just Mexican flags being thrown down on the field for him to wear and put on. And every single person, whether they worked for the team or the league or there were fans, whoever was on the field taking selfies with him and videos of him and pictures of him. And he sort of just went around and did his thing. I don't think he did an interview. That's what I was told, and that's what I saw. And so he did whatever he wanted, is what I'm saying, in that post game, and he probably still is right now.
There has to be a feeling for him, too, of sort of, you know, there's a lot of people that contributed to what LAFC are now. But you have to remember that it was just sort of like, it was just an idea. It was, for a while, it was just like a badge. It was guys lifting their heads up on social media to show that they were a signing of this club that didn't yet exist. So for Carlos, and I think you said this afterwards, and I'm assuming this is true. I trust you, Dave. This is his first league title too, right? His first championship.
Well, what do you consider the Supporters' Shield?
Come
Matthew
on,
Doyle,
Weeby.
Please enter
Come
the
on,
space.
Weeby. Jeez.
I would not consider the Supporters' Shield to be the league championship. I would be Team Kalen on this one.
Interesting.
And that MLS Cup would be.
Can't we just accept that they're two different things? They were like the MLS
sure,
Cup
and I do accept
is
that.
The
I do
is
accept.
The. Postseason tournament winner.
You can frame it that way. You could certainly frame it that way. I think Carlos Vela would look you straight in the eye and tell you that like what he values is this, and had they not won it, it would have been a really big deal to not have gotten it. But I think he looked around that stadium and like he's seen every step, right?
Yeah.
Like there's not been a step in this club's like path, this their journey on the field that he hasn't been a part of. Now, were there parts where he was injured? Was there even some inkling of a doubt this summer that he might not be around? Like, remember, they had to re-sign him. Yep. There was, you know, it seemed pretty clear that it was going to happen. But, you know, nothing's guaranteed in this world until pen hits paper. And then for them to come out and do this, I don't know. It does, in so many ways, feel storybook. Charlie, we're probably going to go get dinner in a second, but I don't think we've really talked. We've not talked that much Union, and look, that's the way it goes. Like, to the victor goes the spoils. But I got to say, I feel for Jim Curtin. I feel for these players, the effort that they put in, the season that they had. As you said, Dave, like these little bizarre or like, you know, vagaries of MLS, they could have had two trophies. They have zero. I mean, it's just it's gut-wrenching. And then for Ale to not get to play, and what did you say after the game? You said if Ale plays, they win this game?
Yes.
There's just so many things they're going to look back on this and be like, God, how? Why? How could that have happened to us?
There's nothing that you can do except think about how to improve next season. And it's a short off season, but I do remember just being, you know, plagued with the what ifs for about a couple of weeks, and then you just go right into off season workouts because you're fueled by this defeat. You think we were that close, and the Union have put in incredible season after incredible season, and they've had silverware, but now you've tasted MLS Cup. And I know, Doyle, you talked about the supporter shield and what that means. You ask any player on that field, they will tell you there's a big difference when it comes to supporter shield and MLS Cup. The feeling, the title that you get with that, the rings you get with winning a trophy, winning MLS Cup, there is a difference. And that's always going to be superior for players who are playing. And now that the Union got that close, they feel that there's only a couple of tweaks I have to make to get back into a final and then eventually win it, because this experience is really going to help all the players that didn't even play. When you're looking at Quinn Sullivan, you're looking at all these guys who are watching from the sideline thinking, man, this is what it likes to be in this environment. And look at the small margins. It's Jack McGlynn. He deflects the goal off the set piece for Kellen Acosta on that free kick. It's the end where Gareth Bale gets the goal, Paxton Aaronson not marking up properly, defending poorly, and then the cross comes in for Gareth Bale. So it's the youth, the inexperience. All of this matters in the long run. Getting them the exposure sooner than later will eventually lead to glory, I think, for the Union down the line.
And this could just be me, you know, viewing it how I want to, but it just – when you go to MLS Cup and you talk to people around teams, I just have felt in the past at times it's been like a, it's now or never from clubs. And I just don't feel that from the Union, right? Like Portland in 2018, they didn't think they should be there. And TFC maybe in 2019, although they had the background, it was like, yeah, we went on this ridiculous run. Now we're so close, we can't let it go. And I think Philly will feel that. Like, they were up 3-2, up a man in MLS Cup in extra time. That one will haunt them forever, but there's just zero doubt in my mind that this team will be back there. Like, there's so many pieces that are going to be back. This team is built for the long term. There is a core and a spine. It just, and honestly, this might be one of those moments, and Charlie, I think this is sort of what you're alluding to, where like, maybe Kai Wagner is coming back. He was the last person to leave the field for the Philadelphia Union after the trophy lift, after the celebrations for LAFC. He sat there and took it all in, and that could have been, well, this was it. Or it could have been, I don't want to end it this way. So this might even extend this Philadelphia Union group longer because of the unfinished business they have. But this just, to me, doesn't feel like a team that had this moonshot and it was take advantage now or you're done forever, right? We've talked over and over this week. 2019 to 20 to 21 to 22, the slow build, unfortunately for them, maybe 23 is when they finally get over the hump. And it just feels like this team has more that they can give.
I am scrolling Twitter here, and I had lost track of the World Series.
Your Donnie Alvarez just hit a bomb.
It is apparently Houston's up 3-2. They're up 3-1. There's 9 outs left. This could be one of those nights for Philadelphia.
Has a city ever lost two titles on the same day?
It's hard to imagine that would be the case, just based simply on timing.
Yeah,
someone can go back and comb through. Right now, I'll just assume that is probably the case. All right, look.
Doyle, did LAFC, the Whalers and UConn never lose on the same day?
Oh, by the way, David, Celtics beat the Knicks by 15. Just so you know.
Yeah.
Let's go!
Oh my
god! Charlie's breaking everyone's ears.
Charlie's the only person in my life that I'd allow to do that. Everyone else I'd be mad about.
Just hang up the phone. All right. So
Charlie, why don't you tell Ernie Stewart I said what up?
I will.
And then 3-0 in penalties, which is a crazy penalty score as it is anyway. John McCarthy, the MVP. Gareth Bale, a storybook. Is it an ending? I don't know. I guess we talked about that on the postgame show. Dave, you and Charlie both said that you thought he's coming back. Were you convinced by that, Doyle? Do you think Gareth Bale will be back in MLS in 23?
I think he retires after the World Cup. From everything I've heard from people around LAFC, like, this guy, he's really struggling physically. And he's been struggling physically for a good long while now. So I think what we just saw is his last club game. And then whatever happens in the World Cup will be his last act as a soccer player. And it's like, if that's how it goes, whatever happens for Wales, just getting them there is such a massive victory. What a way to go out, right? And like, just move to LA, they show up every fifth home game or so, get, you know, thunderous standing ovation.
He'll probably sit right below his number in the rafters, right?
There you go. Yeah, like right in front of the statue that they'll build of him.
It's just the ponytail coming out of the ground.
But I think he's probably done. You know, for he made a lot of money at Real Madrid. He's had a lot of trouble staying healthy. I think the whole point of him coming to MLS was to try to get healthy and play some soccer and find some joy again. And from what I understand, like, that's been a struggle for him with the team, like, because he hasn't been able to get fit. He hasn't been able to train. Well, he found some joy today. And to me, it feels like that'll be the book closing on Gareth Bale. I hope I'm wrong, because he drives our KPIs, man. We just hit them all for 2022. And it's more fun to cover a league when there are players like Gareth Bale in it. But I think this is probably it.
You have a rebuttal, Charlie?
I will say, if he is still playing club soccer, he will be in LA.
All right, I'll accept
it. I think I agree with that. Yeah.
All right, let's give one final thought each and get on out of here. Go have some food, have a couple nice cervezas, etc., whatever you choose on this night. Dave, get us started.
No, I always go first when you come out of left field with a give me your final thing. So one of you go.
Okay.
I'll say it. We spent all week bigging this game up about how great it was going to be, because these are the two, you know, best teams in the league. I think these are two of the best teams that we've ever had in this league. And it was the first time in so long that we had the best team in the West versus the best team in the East. This was no like, oh, somebody got hot down the stretch, or this veteran team was playing possum and saving themselves during the regular season because they knew they wanted to make a cup run. It was none of that. Like, both LAFC and Philly came out from first kick this year giving everybody hell. Like, I understand the way you guys feel about Cup versus Shield, but like, full credit to these two teams for going out there every week and trying their damnedest to win the Shield, man. Like, they emptied the tanks the way that, like, I as someone who has to watch every freaking game, like, I appreciate that so greatly during the regular season. And we took all of that and we said, this game's going to be incredible. This game is going to be the most amazing game. And it blew our hopes out of the water, not our expectations. It blew our hopes out of the water. If you had come up to me before the game and said, write the script for how this game is going to play out, could come up with the most, you know, wacky MLS is inside your brain, you know, way that this game ends and the way that the game's, I would not have come up with the crazy shit that we just saw. So that's what I'm taking away.
I think that's well said. I will say this. You know, I think that the way that this world has been, the way that we've done our jobs, the way that, you know, that like social media can sometimes take over and where so much of the MLS community lives, whether it be on Twitter or otherwise, I just had a wonderful day with my phone jammed in my pocket, not thinking about it once, just like experiencing something that I just get goosebumps thinking about, just being there and being there with you guys and being there with all those fans and Anders and our coworkers and doing this work that we're proud of and just being a part of something bigger that we all love and we hope becomes this thing that has this massive community around it. Just to have that like go into my memory banks and to have done it without being, you know, feeling like I need to go, you know, troll tweet somebody or do whatever. Like, I just felt like for the first time in a while, truly being engaged in a soccer game and not being sort of half distracted by it. That was a joy and a very modern sort of like takeaway of like, man, when you're there and you're all in and you're just gobbling everything up with all your senses and you get that, as you said, Doyle, something that blows your hopes out of the water. I'll be talking about that for a long, long time. I don't think I've had a better experience in soccer outside of a World Cup. That was just, it was everything. It was everything it could possibly be and more.
We're trying to describe the indescribable. It was that type of experience.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Dave, can you describe the indescribable for me or have you?
No, I probably still can't. But yeah, it's just, it's definitely one of those where I'm going to be able to say I was there. Right. And I think that's for all of us what it'll be. And everyone that's texted me, I've just sent them back a video of Gareth Bale celebrating his goal from 5 feet away. And that's something I always wanted to be in. And so it's just special to have been in any small part, you know, a piece of this moment in the sport, in history, and just events, whatever you want to call it. And it's just been an awesome playoffs overall. I went to 3 games and 3 nights in the first round. I pretty much covered everything in the Eastern Conference. And now to come out here and do this game, it's just been the icing on the cake. And as Doyle said, you know, so often we try and build things up and explain why you care and blah, blah, blah. This game didn't need explanation. And that MLS has reached that level is special. And it's something that I hope we never have to go back from in any way. But either way, like, you just have to point to this. If anyone has any questions or wants to know what it's like, should they go to a game, whatever, like, just throw the minute and a half highlight pack of this thing at them and let them make their own decisions.
Go send this to all your sports friends. I mean, I know this community that we have, and that's another part of this. You know, shout out to everybody that when we go to the events says, hey, listen to the show, love the show. You know, it's like shocking to me almost every single time, but so appreciative. Like, send your friends who love sports or love soccer who always say, MLS, what are you talking about? Just send the highlights to them and say, just watch this, man. Just watch it and tell me what you think. Tell me what you feel, because if you didn't feel something off that, I'm afraid that you're broken and you can't feel anything. Charlie, take us home, man.
You know, I've had the opportunity to play in an MLS Cup and feel the vibes from the fans, from teammates, from opponents, from the families, and then getting a chance to cover it with you guys in 2018 in Atlanta. That brought me back to the World Cup days in 94, seeing all the fans come to the stadium and all the gear and just how loud it was. The game wasn't that great, but the experience was incredible. And then to come here where the experience matches that with the fans and the energy and the celebrities, but then the game brought it. It just keeps getting better. And I'm just fortunate to cover this sport, to have done it with you guys. It just doesn't get better. So I'm living a dream. It was an incredible day. And also just taking the scooters to and from the
hotel. Bird gang, baby. That's my guy, Charlie. Let's go. Like,
I'm all in it.
I've never done the bird scooter before. I'm so glad that I was like, I'm just going to do this on the way home. Charlie taking shortcuts. And I'm like, I don't think this dude knows where he's going. He's whipping us down wrong way streets, driving on sidewalks. Just follow, baby. Rev it up.
Let's be clear. This is how efficient this was. I got 2 handmade quesadillas, ate them, took a scooter home, got two beers, came up here, set my stuff up, and Doyle still hadn't gotten out of his Uber.
I got to tell you, if I ever tried to get on one of those scooters, I'm pretty sure it would be instant death. there's no way that would work out well for me.
It gives you some natural equilibrium. I say try it sometime, just not after the two beers. All right, we should go get those beers. A lot more to come, of course, through the rest of this year from Extra Time, as well as all the different MLS shows that you follow. We have expansion draft next week.
Maybe. What more could we possibly talk about in soccer this year? What else could possibly happen?
Yeah, we have expansion draft next week.
Well, we certainly won't be hearing from Gareth Bale again the rest of this year, right?
We've got the World Cup. We've got a super draft. And then we've got a transfer window opening. And then we'll be right back at it because the MLS season is going to be back with a vengeance in February, late February. So there will be a lot of changes, I assume. I mean, everybody knows that there's going to be a change in the broadcast side of things for the league, but Extra Time will be here, and this is a pleasure to be here to talk about it with you guys and throw Kalen and Anders into that as well. This is just, it's a joy, our group chat, coming together twice a week to talk about this thing that we love. I truly do cherish it, and before I cry, let's go get some beers, some fries, some chicken wings. Adios, everybody. Congratulations, LAFC. Until next time, Philadelphia Union. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back.